Insurance Matters on Radio Kerry with McCarthy Insurance Group. Keeping you covered with home, motor and business insurance. MIG.ie.
Now, you're very welcome back to Tuesday's Talk About, and I'm delighted to be joined by Paul Kavanagh from McCarthy Insurance Group. Paul, how's it going?
All good, David.
That's good, that's good. I suppose the hot topic of the week, one in every 15 vehicles on the road are uninsured, according to the Motor Insurers Bureau of Ireland. It's a fairly stark figure.
It is a very stark figure, estimated to be 6.75 of the total number of vehicles that we know about. But part of the problem is here that they seem to be getting to is that they're proposing to introduce a new system. So last year we got the number plate recognition system, and then for the last 12 months we've had the driver, you couldn't take out or renew a private car policy without having your driving license, and that was setting up the database at which they can do all these figures, I suppose, really. That is not complete as of yet, but a 6.75%, like we're just way ahead of the EU average here, but by a long shot the UK is 2.5%. Okay. Of uninsured driving. So it's a big figure. The Gardaí are doing a fabulous job with the number plate recognition system, and I think what's being proposed here now by the Motor Insurance Bureau of Ireland is that we now have a system where every vehicle has to be insured. Now, there's for and against it. And I could be the politician here and give you all the things in favour of it, and then I'll give you all the things against it. I'd say the jury is out on it, and it'll take some time to implement it. My attitude towards it at the moment is get on with the job in hand, which is getting all the vehicles in the country on the database and all the drivers on the database first, and then you can move on if you see that there's trouble after that.
Of course, yeah. And one of the suggestions was a call for the CVC system. That's the Continuous Vehicle Coverage System. What would that be?
That would mean that every single vehicle would have to be registered, and every single vehicle would have to have insurance. And that would cut out things like, I had a case there where the young lad is going off to Australia, and can he leave his vehicle tied up for 3 months inside in the garage? The answer then would be no. Currently you can suspend the road part of it and keep your accidental damage, fire and theft part while the car would be parked up. We would note that, and then when the driver returns from Australia, he'll get a credit for the unexpired portion of his policy while he was away, which was a great thing, and which was used an awful lot by listeners who are listening today during COVID. When we had the lockdown, we advised people there to suspend their vehicle, suspend their insurance, the third party element, and then they got a big credit back when they got back on the road, which was a great thing. Mm-hmm. But if you had continuous vehicle coverage, that would be eliminated. So there's one of the big negatives now against it. There are a lot of big positives in favour of it as well, because the MIBI maintain that there is a lot of vehicles brought into the country that they have no vision of, because they're not registered. They could be working in fields, they could be working in quarries, they could be working on spare vehicles, they could be vintage vehicles, they could be vehicles with UK registrations and European registrations. So, you know, there's a huge job of work here.
Of course, yeah, and imagine like vehicles that are working in fields and things like that, that it causes an awful lot of, I suppose, as you said, extra work, and they'd have
extra
to be...
work and hassle. Currently the Gardaí can only prosecute you if you're driving the vehicle. They cannot prosecute you for not having insurance on a vehicle that's not been driven.
Okay.
And that means driven in a public place, which is usually on the main road or in a public place like the churchyard or the schoolyard, you know, where you can drive in and drive around. That's what's defined in the Road Traffic Act as a public place.
Yeah, of course. And just looking up on the CVC system in the UK, a fine can be issued if the vehicle is uninsured for 28 days. So is that the kind of, that's what the MIBI would be kind of looking for in this side?
That's exactly what they're looking for, to go down the same route. And if you don't respond to them, then after the first 28 days, you get 56 days, you start to get penalty points then, and then they start, and next thing to send it over for prosecution. after 182 days. And, you know, that's a huge amount of work as well. So, look, there's pros and there's cons in it. My overriding, having dwelled, and the first we heard of this was yesterday morning. So, you know what I mean? I'm trying to react to this now, and my reaction is changing by the hour. Lads, let the Gardaí get on with the job at hand, and let us get on with our job at hand, because we've 6 months left to go with the commercial vehicles to be registered. We cannot renew, and we cannot take out a new van policy currently, or a car policy now, for that matter, unless the person produces their licence and every driver that's going to be driving that vehicle. So that's the first job at hand. There's another 6 months left at that, so that'll take us nearly up to the end of the year.
Of course, yeah, and I imagine as I suppose it's best to clarify that this is only a call they're making, the MIBI at the moment. Yeah. It's that they're putting pressure on the government to maybe explore the avenue. But
correct, I think they have the government are kind of on the back foot a small bit. The reduction in uninsured driving was one of the top 10 things that the government action group said on insurance said that they were going to do, and I suppose the MIBI who is a non-profit organisation, but they represent the insurance companies because that's where the money goes. You know, when we pay in, and every one of the listeners here today is paying €35 currently, and we've paid as high as 50 in the past when things were very bad, based on claims paid out. And last year they paid out €70 million for uninsured drivers.
Wow!
Right, so this is a big situation here, and I suppose to be fair to the MIBI. They're coming up and saying, "Well, we're calling for this, and the government will have to look at it, and it will have to be debated."
Of course, yeah. And as you mentioned there, the number of uninsured private vehicles has fallen sharply since 2022. It's estimated around 187,000 vehicles remain uninsured. Yeah. So I suppose it's still a high number.
The big problem here, David, and I spent a bit of time last night trying to figure out how they work this out. And it's a very at the end of the day, it's an estimate. And if I wanted to be a pessimist, I could call it a guesstimate of really what's going on. And their overall figure there of 211, it could be way higher than that. They don't know, and you know, do any of us know? And that's why I suppose they're trying to tie it all down into a digital system whereby if you're stopped on the road by the Gardaí and if your vehicle is not on their system, in their mind, you are not insured. So last year, just under 20,000 vehicles were seized. But in addition to that, there was 25,000, nearly 26,000 charges and summonses brought for no insurance. Why was that? Because when the Gardaí stop you, it could be because you're unaccompanied or you don't have a license or a current license, or your policy could be cancelled, or your policy could have been suspended, or you could have got a loan. There are numerous things that the Gardaí have to face in relation to all that. So in reality, did they really catch 45,000 people last year? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So the Gardaí need all the assistance in the world. They're getting it. The vast majority of people have complied. And I suppose what the MIBI are proposing here is, well, here's the next step now after that to close it off completely.
Of course. And previous research from the MIBI said for every uninsured driver here in Ireland, everyone else's insurance goes up by 30 to €35. How exactly does that cost get passed on to consumers then? That would be my question on that side.
It happens retrospectively after the event. So they will calculate last year. So say, for example, in 2024, they will calculate that they needed 70 million. Let's take a figure of 70 million, and that'll be divided then into every single one of us. And if that comes out at 30, 35, 40, whatever it comes out at, the insurers have to pay that on our behalf, and it'll be taken off your next policy. Do you know what I mean? It moves on. It's a moving feast, as the villains say, after the event.
Yeah.
We've no choice in the matter. and the insurers were just told, that's it, you have to collect an extra 36, 37, whatever the figure may be, depending on how much is paid out.
Of course, and I suppose when you're dealing it from day to day, Paul, do most drivers even realise that they're effectively subsidising the uninsured drivers, or that they're being hit with these?
I think that's the big message here, from my perspective, that is that we are subsidising uninsured drivers, and there's nothing worse. I came across a situation there a couple of years back where a guy had done damage, and your man said to me, it is all cleared up now, there's no problem with that anymore, that was sorted. And I said, was he uninsured? He said he was, but I'm saying nothing. But I said, you're subsidising him, you're paying him. And when I told him that, his attitude changed completely.
Yeah, of course. And I suppose, do current penalties, do they act as a real deterrent? So obviously a fine and a few penalty points may, but
I discussed it last month. The big problem here is, it's fine when the Gardaí with the 20,000 vehicles seized. The next thing after that is the charges and summonses. Once you go into the court, it's a different ball game altogether, and it falls into the hands of the court system. And you have the court system then is not keeping up to date and making sure that all these things are recorded in the same efficient way that the Gardaí are. So there is a grey area there once you go into court, even if you're convicted. Is your license going to be affected? And what they discovered is the vast majority of licenses, I think over 50% of them, were not being handed up at all.
Right, interesting.
So that's where the tightening now needs to come in. And that we addressed that, I think, the first week of March was when I was talking to Deirdre about that. Mm-hmm. It hasn't happened. And the Minister for Transport, Darragh O'Brien, he was to make a statement on it, and while we get all that sorted, I haven't heard one word out of him in those 6 weeks.
Of course. So, Paul, we're getting a few questions in. I have a few more questions to ask you about CVC and the findings of the Motor Insurance Bureau's research, but we'll take a quick break and we'll get back to you with those after these.
Insurance Matters on Radio Kerry with McCarthy Insurance Group. Keeping you covered with home, motor and business insurance. MIG.ie.
Now, you're very welcome back to Tuesday's Talk About, and Paul Kavanagh of McCarthy Insurance Group is with us on the line still, and we're discussing, I suppose, the Motor Insurers Bureau of Ireland's report calls for it to be illegal to own an uninsured vehicle. And Paul, if CVC was to be introduced, how quickly could we see insurance premiums? Would they change? Would they come down? Would they go up? What would be the reality of that?
I think, like, I've seen these things before. First of all, this must go to government. There's not one word of it yet about legislation or anything like that. That's not going to happen this year. Then it will have to go to legislation and be passed in legislation. Then it'll have to be tried to be introduced in a system. Conservatively, I'm going 2030.
Okay.
That's how far this is away. That's I'm being conservative. That may be a small bit pessimistic as well. But things don't move quickly when it comes to this type of change. And this is a major change. And anybody listening there that's importing vehicles or involved in anything like that will understand what I'm saying. This is going to take a long period of time to have it implemented.
Okay, that's, I suppose, 2030, yeah, that's, I suppose it's 4 years down the line now, but it is quite a long, long ways away. Paul, we have a number of texts in from listeners with queries, if I'm okay to put those to you as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
So a listener's gotten in touch and said she would like to ask who's responsible if your son, who's 16 years old, purchased a car and had a collision. In this instance, the son has no insurance. Are the parents responsible for the damages incurred?
Do you know what now? That's an excellent question based on the continuous vehicle coverage. Currently, there is nobody responsible, would you believe? That is straight into the Motor Insurance Bureau of Ireland to be picked up by us. Under the proposal, if the vehicle was bought by the parent, then the parent would be 100% responsible, and the parent would have to have the vehicle registered in their name, because the 16-year-old couldn't, obviously. So it's the parent in that. So there's one of the positives of having the CVC.
Okay, so that's the advice there for that listener. Another listener gets in touch regarding cars they've seen on the road with Ukrainian reg plates and English reg plates, but they say lately you've seen absolutely nothing on their windscreen, and just wonders, are they insured, and how do they show if they are insured or not?
They're covered by the government under DMI. Another one under DMIBI again. So if one of them has an accident and causes damage or injury, then the payment is made out of the Motor Insurance Bureau of Ireland currently.
Okay, so that's the information back. That was Jack sent in that query, so hopefully that clears it up for Jack. Another caller gets in touch. Paul, good afternoon. Regarding motor car insurance, we had a claim before lockdown for €800, but the insurance company wouldn't pay without seeing the name driver's driving licence records. They say they got both from Kerry County Council at a cost of €6 each. This listener says that the insurance company is looking for an excuse not to pay. That's his opinion. No, but I suppose a response to that.
Yeah, well, the response to that is that that they won't be able to renew their policy now without having to produce the licences. The licences go into a database and they know everything about you before we even start. So in the past, they didn't have that and they had to ask for licences if they had any type of a reason to ask for the licence. They could ask for it and that was it. Whereas now, that's all in the system. You can't renew or take out a policy now without having your licence.
Okay, so that's the response to that questioner from that listener. Another gets in touch regarding moving to Australia as well. Actually, you mentioned another person moving to Australia with regards to insurance. They say they're moving in the next couple of weeks but have sold off their car, so will have no policy and won't have any policy for the length that they're away. Will they get charged extra for not being on the road here for when they eventually do move home?
No, but the advice there now is make sure that when you cancel, I don't know how much is left in the policy, whether it is worth cancelling or not, but you need to get advice in that about cancelling the policy and making sure that your no claims bonus that you have built up is held for you when you come back. That will be live for two if you come back within 2 years, but as also it will stand to you as your record of driving. Also, the other thing to watch out for is to make sure that you keep your license renewed. What we often discover is people coming back from Australia, they have no Irish licence, they have no record of insurance, they can't remember who they were with, they can't find anything, and they're then treated nearly like a new startup with a learner permit. Mm-hmm. So my advice to anybody going to USA, Canada, Australia, wherever you're going, and when you get there as well, get your driving record. If you're driving for somebody out there or you're on somebody's policy, when you're coming back to Ireland, make sure you have all your records. When you have your records, we have insurers who will look on you favourably and give you credit for the period of time you were in Australia. Whereas if you have no documentation, then you're treated like a startup again.
Okay, and obviously that's a very, I had that experience myself. You're coming back after 8 or 9 years away and you're looking at a very high premium when you're coming back. So it's very good advice there.
I appreciate that people don't think about it. They're going to Australia. They're full of joy and everything and all that comes with it. But when you're coming back, that's when you need to have things right. And we find so many times that people haven't renewed their license, haven't done anything with their insurance. Mm-hmm. You have to come back to some. If you want to be treated and get a no claims bonus or get some credit for your driving, you need to have documentation.
I suppose in that scenario, Paul, I know you said CVC wouldn't realistically, if it were to be introduced, then it wouldn't be till 2030. But say in a world where that was introduced, what would the scenario there be then? They'd have to have something insured at home the whole time.
If you were leaving your vehicle at home, it would have to be insured. That's what the proposal is, that every vehicle, whether it is in a shed or a garage or out the back of the house or whatever, every vehicle, they want every single vehicle insured.
Yeah. So I suppose that's, one of the other things to be looked at in that MIBAI call. Another texter in touch, Paul, and they say they've no serial number on a quad that we bought. Do you have to have one to get insurance?
Yeah, a very difficult situation. You see the vehicle, you have to go to the revenue to get the vehicle registered for tax. And this is a huge problem. We've discussed it before in relation to e-bikes and in relation to e-scooters as well. The big difficulty that the revenue have is that if there's no mechanism to register them here in Ireland, because forklifts, yes, quad bikes, yes. Okay, they're saying this one has no serial number. That is a big problem. It has to be identifiable in some shape or form. I don't know how they'll have to go to the Gardaí locally, I'd say, to find out, lads, what's the system here of getting this. I don't even know. Why is there no serial number on it? There should be a serial number. Either that or wherever it came from didn't abide by the rules, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But if there's a serial number, it can be registered, and once it's registered, it can be insured.
That's the advice for that listener. Another
What we have an awful lot of then is farmers who have quad bikes, which are the main users of quad bikes that we find, and businesses on that are using the land, that they then don't have, and there'd be others that will be brought into the CVC, they don't have any tax or registration on those vehicles because they don't need it, because they're on the land. They're not, once they're not in any public place or not transversing the public roadway, then they don't need tax or registration.
Yeah, okay. So that's the advice for that listener. Another caller gets in touch and says they're having a back operation and can't sit down for more than 5 minutes at any one time. After they said their doctor told me I can lie down in the back seat. Am I covered? It's an unusual one, but that is the question from this listener.
That's a new one, and I suppose we learn something new every day. Never heard of that before, but I empathise with the person. That's a very serious situation that they're in. I mean, the quick answer is yes. Are they covered for sitting and lying down in the back seat? I wouldn't fancy meeting a guard on the road and trying to explain that to him as to why they're lying down. The guard, I want to be empathetic and sympathetic towards the situation as well.
Of course. So one final one in as well. It's kind of a switch up. It's more of a health insurance question, if that's all right, Paul.
Fine.
So a listener says they were recently referred to a private hospital for wisdom teeth extraction. They did scans, are in proceeding to book in the procedure, but double checked with their insurer on cover. The provider said they weren't covered for the procedure in a private hospital under the policy, but they could be under public. Listener says they asked the provider for a reference of facilities which would cover them, only for the provider to reply stating, as this is now an existing condition, they would now not be covered under the policy. The listener says they have this policy around 2 or 3 years, asked if this is allowed or would be worth switching providers, adding they're feeling extremely let down by the provider over this.
Yeah, I can understand the situation there and the pain, pardon the pun. But basically, dental insurance is not only emergency dental following an accident would be normally covered under a health policy. And there are the insurers have separate dental policies for dental, basically. Mm-hmm. Dental in the main, unless an emergency, as in an accident emergency, are not covered under health policies. So I'm not sure what they were really, you know what I mean, what they were told. But I would have thought if you hadn't given me all the information, I would have said dental is not covered under a health policy in the main, only in the event of an accident, like a car accident or something,
right,
or somebody falling and needing emergency treatment.
Okay, so that's the advice there. One final quick one, Paul. Somebody is in touch saying, regarding travel insurance, on budget airlines, they're asked do they want to opt in or opt out? They usually opt out, but is it worth opting in? It's usually an additional charge.
It is usually an additional charge, and it's usually, I won't say expensive, but it's expensive in the long run. If you're doing a couple of these in the year, going to London, going to Paris, wherever, going to matches or things, and then going on holidays, it's better to get an annual travel policy. Things have happened in the last number of years. As we know, we had COVID. Mm-hmm. We had the cloud, the dust cloud in Iceland.
Yes, yeah.
Right, and now we have the war in Europe, and now we have the war in the Far East.
That's right.
I know people that went to Australia at the weekend, and they had to go via America.
Wow.
Right. So. Yeah. You know, and you have to check out as well what the insurance policy covers. Will it cover me if we can't go? Mm-hmm. Will it cover me if there's a debt in the family? Will it cover me if I get sick? Will it cover me if I get sick when I'm out? You know, you've to go through all these things. It's not the simple, and I think the point I'm trying to make here, it's not as simple as ticking a box or not ticking a box.
Yeah.
I think you need to know exactly and have it planned out and look at it. And the other thing that's really important here, and we've covered it with Deirdre a number of times, is if you have any pre-existing conditions, right, then you need to tell the travel insurance about it, because otherwise they will not cover you.
Okay, yeah, that's very good advice. Paul, unfortunately, we're all out of time, so we leave it there. But thanks again, as always, for joining us.
And thank you, David, and thank you, listeners.
Thanks very much. That is Paul Kavanagh of McCarthy Insurance Group with the Insurance Matters.